for Lancer Radio at lancerradio.org, coming to you live from the beautiful Pasadena City College campus. You're with Over Coffee this morning, Dot Cannon with you, talking with FJR Tichenor. I keep trying not to call you Fiona, because Fiona was your name before the Ogre Princess came, as you say on your website.
That is how the poem goes.
But when you look for her brand new book that's coming out in May, Confessions of the Very First Zombie Slayer That I Know Of, FJR Tichenor is the name that you're going to want to be looking for.
Right.
We were just talking about the creative process. You said it took 7 months from idea to that's it, I'm sending it out.
Mm-hmm, that's the quickest I've ever done one on my own.
That's incredible. You say on your website you absolutely hate writing query letters, but you obviously were very good at it because you've now got a 3-book deal. What's your advice to authors that are going to do something like that, a query letter?
Do your homework, of course. Make sure the book is as strong as it can be, which means reading a lot. Read things in your genre, things out of your genre, and read things on publishing, on writing, on marketing, and wherever you're querying, make sure you read everything you can on what they like and follow the rules, because that will impress them as much as anything else.
What were you reading in your genre as Cassie came into being?
Ooh, let's see. I believe I was reading Uglies by Scott Westerfeld at the time.
Which, by the way, I got absolutely hooked looking at on your website. That's something. Tell me the story of getting that query letter out there. And you'd read and you'd researched. Out it went. Then what happened for you?
Oh, well, it's terrifying, of course. And you send them out in these little batches over the course of months. And, oh my God, an agent, Jennifer Mishler, the awesome Jennifer Mishler of Literary Council, wrote back saying, I'm loving your book, just wanted to check if it's still available. She was in the process of writing it, and I just about fainted. She was in the process of reading it, and I just about fainted. And told her, yes, everything is still available, because, of course, I had a healthy heap of rejection letters by then, but it only takes the one yes.
It certainly does. How many did J.K. Rowling ever get? I want to say 26 on Harry Potter.
I don't know the figure off the top of my head. I know it was a lot.
So you went in to see her, and what happened?
Well, I didn't actually get to see her. She lives in New York. We deal with everything online and over the phone. We wrote back and forth a couple of times before there was finally the I'd like to offer to represent you letter. Then there was much celebration in the Carter household, and we talked about it. She said she loved it, suggested sending it to Jollyfish Press, which is where she did and where it was accepted, and where my other upcoming work, The Prospero Chronicles, which is, by the way, going to be 5 books, but 3 are under contract so far with Jollyfish Press. That's where that's all going to happen, too, and it's a very exciting place.
Let's look at that briefly before we run out of time about The Prospero Chronicles. What's happening? This is the one you're doing with Matt?
Yes, this is the one we're writing together, and I'm sure he'll be able to tell you lots about it next week. It is about a shape-shifting alien invasion in a small town in Northern California, and about the teenagers who band together to stop it. It's about Mina Todd, who has been fighting the aliens all her life, and about Ben Pastor, the boy she brings in from the outside when he's visiting town, and about them trying to build a friendship and working relationship in a world full of aliens who can look like people.
Wow. So they have the normal teenage challenges and then another challenge right in front of them.
Oh, yes.
And how are things going to grow and develop in Prospero Chronicles as this happens with all the aliens?
Oh, it gets more complicated. We find out that the aliens aren't all on the same side and that sometimes you have to cooperate with enemies to take down worse enemies. That's going to come up. And Ben and Mina will have a very tumultuous friendship and possibly more developing, and gather other fascinating people around them their efforts.
You mentioned to me off mic that you're on your 3rd book right now, just about finishing the 3rd of 5.
Correct. Things are getting very intense. This is very much a turning point where things get serious. We have some important people being taken by the aliens who are known as Splinters, which is what the first book is called. It'll be out in about a year. Exact release date to come.
I'm going to guess maybe Halloween of next year, but
here's hoping.
Look for Splinters by FJR Tichenor and Matt Carter is what we'll tell people.
Exactly.
In our closing minutes here, who do you consider has been your best influence in terms of teaching you about your craft? What other writers do you look up to, and who's most molded what you do?
Well, there's my dad, of course, who is my first and best English teacher. He's still teaching English and has a book out, by the way, on SAT prep. I believe it's published under K. Tichenel. Then there's, within my genre, I love Lauren Oliver, Scott Westerfeld, Suzanne Collins, of course. But in terms of inspiration, it's got to be J.K. Rowling. Even though she's fantasy and I'm sci-fi horror, the passion of the connection I felt to her characters and her world as a kid is what I will spend my life trying to recreate for my own readers.
I love her world, right down to where she makes the different coins and tells you the newts and the galleons and everything like that.
It's so vivid and alive and complete.
And I'm looking forward to seeing what Confessions of the Very First Zombie Slayer is like. Did you have any challenges at all in creating the world of Cassie, or was it pretty smooth sailing?
Well, it's pretty much our world with zombies suddenly coming into being. The dead suddenly stop staying dead. Of course, there were parts with them going places I haven't been. A lot of the places they go, I have been. It was very much based on a road trip that Matt and I took in college that covered very similar ground. Then there was the people that they meet on the road. There aren't many of those, but how they're handling the zombie situation and them talking to adults who are trying to guess at why this is happening. I had to come up with some reasonable solutions that a zoologist would think of when finding herself in the zombie apocalypse, because they do end up finding one.
What are some of the reasonable solutions behind a zombie apocalypse?
She more or less concludes that there's not enough information.
Which, when you come right down to it, that's usually the root of every problem, lack of communication.
She proposes Komodo dragon theory is why the zombies' bites are lethal, because there's something growing in them that can't be fought. But as to why people are getting up, she thinks that science will have to get back on its feet to where it was before the apocalypse, and then about 20 years further in that particular direction before they'll have any ideas. That's what she tells the kids.
And once again, a great book that we're going to be looking forward to reading about in May 6th of 2014 is your release
mark
date.
Mark your calendars.
What would you consider, FJR, very briefly, if you had to say in one sentence advice to writers that want to do what you're doing, what would you say to them?
One word?
One sentence.
Read, write, repeat.
I love that. FJR, thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much.